Good morning, everyone from Hamburg. It is holiday time all over Europe. Both our CEO, Klaus-Matthias Böge, and our CFO, Olaf Borkers, holiday with their families at Germany's beaches. That's the reason why I today have the pleasure to present you Deutsche Eurostadt's half-year results of fiscal year 2009. With me are Kirsten Kaiser, Head of Finance and Accounting, and Nicolas Lissner, my Investor Relations colleague. To start things off, I would like to thank you, everybody who attended our Deutsche Eurostadt Real Estate Summer event on July 17th. We appreciate your interest in our company and value your feedback and on our disclosure. We hope you came away with new and helpful information. So, slide two. What were the topics of the last month? As you probably all remember, we increased our share in the City Point in Kassel from 40 to 90% at the beginning of the year by buying 50% of the share from Arcandor. This allowed us to fully consolidate this center with corresponding effects on the balance sheet and income statement, which we already explained in detail in our Q1 conference call. In the following, I will only describe it as the Kassel effect. In a chronological order, what happened next on slide three, we refer to the Karstadt issue because in June, Arcandor, the mother holding company of Karstadt, went into insolvency. And what does this mean for Deutsche Eurostadt? Not that much, maybe, or less than many of you maybe assumed. We have Karstadt as tenant only in two shopping centers. One is the Main-Taunus Centrum, where Karstadt occupies approximately 16,200 square meters on two levels. And they have a lease contract until the end of 2026. And as you can see with the arrow, which marks the position within the shopping center of Karstadt, it shows it's really in the heart of the center, with two extremely long window facades. And additionally, Karstadt pays only less than 5 euro per month in square meter as rent. Therefore, this is a very attractive location, and the situation with a lease contract, which is a lease contract which was agreed before ECE took over the center management in this shopping center, it would be a favorable situation for us if we get this space within the heart of the center. And the second situation is nearly comparable. It's a much smaller space, only 3,200 square meters in the Phoenix Center Harburg, where Karstadt runs a Karstadt sports department on one level. They have the right to cancel end of this year their contract. We don't see a problem in releasing this space too. Where Karstadt is not our tenant, but our neighbor, is to be seen on slide four. And I personally have to say that mid of June, I spoke to Reuters and answered the question, is Deutsche Eurostadt interested in buying Karstadt properties? I answered this question with, we have Karstadt as neighbor in two of our shopping centers, and if these properties would be for sale, it would make sense to speak with the owner of a bordering shopping center. Reuters published this sentence exactly, but other journalists shortened the statement in a wrong way by writing only a short sentence like, Deutsche Eurostadt is interested in Karstadt properties, or even worse, Deutsche Eurostadt bids for Karstadt properties, and that's not really the statement I wanted to express. But to explain you the situation, I meant really, with my original statement, we have prepared two pictures. The first shows you here on the slide four, the floor plan of the Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum, and you can see our center, as I mentioned, is bordering the Karstadt property, which belongs to the high-street portfolio of the Goldman Sachs and Co. Investor Group. We have in front of the building of Karstadt many smaller shops which can be seen with many colors and numbers. So the main entrance is only a small part of this mall. And even if it would close down, this wouldn't probably disturb the situation in the shopping center. That's one example where we have Karstadt as a neighbor. The second one is to be seen on slide 5, where you can see a Google Earth photograph of our Rathaus Center in the eastern German Dessau city. The Karstadt property is yellow bordered, and our center operates on 2 levels. Karstadt operates on additional 3 levels, basement, second and third floor, and that's exactly the difficulty which is often to find in department stores, and one of the reasons why not every department store can succeed as a shopping center. And these 4 pictures show that the Arcando insolvency is more a chance for Deutsche EuroShop, more chance than a problem. The next big headline was published on the day of our annual general meeting on June the 30th, during the speech of Mr. Böge at the annual general meeting. He made some remarks about the foreseeable changes in the international accounting standards, which unnecessarily caused some confusion at the stock exchange. To our surprise, traders misinterpreted our CEO's remarks as a profit warning. The important message itself, that the bottom line is absolutely not affected, was not well recognized by many, unfortunately. The facts are, the change in accounting affects only the following shopping centers, which were previously included in our consolidated financial statements according to our stake: the Altmarkt Gallery in Dresden, the Phoenix Center in Hamburg, the City Arcade in Klagenfurt, the Arcade in Pécs, Hungary, as well as the Main-Taunus Centrum, close to Frankfurt, which contributed altogether a total of 34.6 million euro, or 30% to group revenue in the financial year 2008. Additionally, joint ventures, which are businesses in which we do own a controlling share, but which are operated together with the partner, are included in the consolidated financial statements under IAS 31. Earlier, it was possible to include these companies either pro rata, as we did it, or at equity in the consolidated financial statements. At equity means that only the result, that means the pro rata profit or loss calculated as per IFRS, is included in the consolidated financial statements, while pro rata consolidation includes all proportional income and expenses. The result remains the same, but overall it becomes less transparent, and that's the reason why we don't understand this change in the standards. From 2010 or latest 2011, that's a new thing maybe, because at the moment the IAS board has a lot to do to find new regulations for the banking sector worldwide. Therefore, we don't know if this changes will be introduced in 2010 or maybe in 2011. But then we will be forced to include the mentioned shopping centers at equity in the consolidated financial statements. On slide 7, you see what we published as press release on the 6th of July, the big refinancing of 32.2 million euro, out of which 50 million were maturing in October this year. And you see it in the first line on the slide. Out of the 59 million, 50 million were refinanced. The remaining part is regularly redemption payment we do every year. So we bring down our debt ratio and improve on the other side our equity ratio every year by paying back 9.5 million euro roughly. And additionally to this 50 million euro, we agreed for a loan which would mature in 2013 of 82.2 million euro already in a package, in a new agreement and prolongation of this credits. And this two credits together will bring down our average interest rate roughly by 5 basis points to approximately 5.28% on average. And from the maturity point of view, it will increase the weighted maturity by roughly 1 year. And important for our P&L in the future, this refinancing will reduce the annual interest payments by approximately 1 million euro each year. And following to this refinancing news, on the evening of the 6th of July, we published our plan to increase our capital by 10%, and some of you already awaited this step. Now we did it finally in an accelerated book building offer together with Goldman Sachs and Commerzbank with a volume of 67 million euro. We placed roughly 3.4 million shares. That was the 28 times daily trading volume at a price of 19.50 euro on the 7th of July. That was the biggest capital increase since more than 2 years since Colonial Real Estate made a capital increase by 179 million euro in May 2007. It was a successful capital increase. We saw a strong demand in the morning of July 7th. The order book was closed before noon. The order book was three times oversubscribed, unfortunately with a very low price elasticity from the investor side. But we were happy that especially general long-only investors and real estate specialists took the chance to get into a shareholding of Deutsche EuroShop shares. And on slide 9, you can see that the biggest part was placed in Europe. Only 19% were placed out of Europe, with Germany as a dominating country, then the UK and Switzerland following the rest of the world and the United States, 19%. Important also, and from our point of view, good for the stability of the share price development also in the future. Long-only investors represented 97% of the investors which got the shares, only 3% went to hedge funds. And on slide 10, you can see that the influence of the capital increase to the share price was really very, very minimal. At the end of the week of the placement, we even outperformed the MDAX, the mid-cap index in Germany. That's also a good signal that the market welcomed this measurement. So our new shareholder structure is to be seen on slide 11. The Otto family wanted to keep their portion in our company, but due to the oversubscription, they did not get all the shares they wanted originally, as well as hedge fund. They didn't take part in the capital increase, therefore they were diluted by 10%. Now the Otto family has 18.5% of the shares, hedge fund 5.3 roughly. And we have nearly 9,000 shareholders at the moment, and a new free float number, that's important, is now 81.5%. Now we finally come to the measurable result of the first half of fiscal year 2009 on slide 12. For the important key figures we have prepared, the well-known bridges that will later explain the composition of all these results. The full consolidation of the results of the cluster center resulted in a higher revenue contributions than in the past. In addition, the two centers opened in Hameln and Passau in 2008 also contributed to revenue growth. Revenue from existing properties climbed 1.4% year-on-year. That's the like-for-like growth in Deutsche EuroShop's revenue. At this point, we could add the development from our tenants' point of view. Our German tenants suffered with minus 1.3%, a slight decrease in turnover like-for-like, but once again, they outperformed the German average retail turnover, which was down 2.3%. Unfortunately, we don't have the numbers from our foreign centers yet, but we don't expect numbers from Austria, Hungary, or Poland, which will make us nervous. So sorry that we don't have the numbers today, but if you give us a call next week, maybe we can help you out with the developments there. Yeah, back to the EBIT. Everything comparable, unspectacular, everything in line with our operational forecasts. EBIT 15% up, EBT due to the valuation result, which we will explain later, 40% up, consolidated profit 41% up. The FFO per share, and that's important for our operational result, 9% up from 70 cents per share to 76 cents per share. We used the old number until the capital increase. We had at the end of the reporting period 34.4 million shares. Therefore, all these per share numbers are based on the old number of shares to avoid any confusion with that. And the same is true for the earnings per share. They were up as a consolidated profit by 41% from 63 cents to 89 cents per share. Balance sheet, not so much to say about the balance sheet because for most of the changes in the balance sheet, the Kassel effect is nearly completely responsible. So the same explanation we already gave you in the Q1 conference call is applicable. Maybe to mention the equity ratio came down a little bit from end of last year to end of the first half of this year from 48.7% to 47.4%. Still a good number, which will be improved by the capital increase with the next quarter's report, of course. Same is true for the loan-to-value ratio, which was up a little bit from 46.1% to 48.6%. As mentioned on the next slide, 13, balance sheet, unspectacular. Only two main effects influenced the changes in the single positions, especially the mentioned Kassel effect, and additionally with our annual general meeting at the last day of the reporting period, we paid out the dividend one day later, and we prepared this payment of the dividend, and this expanded the balance sheet a little bit. Therefore, you have to deduct roughly 36 million euro from this total equities and liabilities and other positions, and then you have the pure Kassel effect is roughly some more than 70 million euro. No big changes, no surprises in the balance sheet. One important number maybe is not mentioned in this table because it's only a comparable small number. The trade receivables are at 1.768 million euro, even lower than at the end of Q1 when we were at 1.827 million euro. That means another roughly 60,000 euro less. This position, that's another proof for us for the stability within our tenant mix and shows the money just comes in. No reason to worry. Slide 14. As mentioned, we will see the details on the revenue development in a short moment. some information about the lines in between the results. Higher expenses were incurred for the operation of the shopping centers in the first 6 months due to the opening of the centers in Hameln and Passau. The operating administrative costs for operating were 7.5 million euro in H1 09, compared with 6.7 million euro in H1 08. Other operating expenses climbed by only 200,000 euro to 2.4 million euro roughly. Income from investments came in the form of a dividend distribution by our Polish participation in the Galleria Bartitzka with 884,000 euro, slightly down compared to last year's first half. Profit attributable to limited partners was also higher than in the first 6 months of 08. Keyword for this position is, again, the well-known currency effects. We will explain later. You probably remember this unrealized non-cash item from our Q1 call as a simple and non-influencing bookkeeping issue. So we come to the promised bridges on slide 15. The like-for-like increase in rents was 1.4% or 700,000 euro. The restructurings in Kassel and Hamm have a negative impact on the revenues due to the lost rental income and ancillary costs during the construction periods. And at the end, the revenue was up from 55.2 million euro to 63.0 million euro due to this effect. Slide 16, net finance costs totaled 27.7 million euro. These are 4.9 million euro more than in last year's first half, that's 22.8 million euro. This was attributable firstly to the higher interest expense incurred following the consolidation of Kassel, and secondly to the interest expense for the Hameln and Passau centers. Income from investments were down only 128,000 euro. Interest income declined by 812,000 euro due to the sharp fall in capital market rates. Income attributable to minority shareholders was 1.319 million euro higher than in the first month of 2008. And that's the composition of the net finance cost bridge. The EBT bridge is on slide 17. The valuation rose 8.6 million euro from 2.2 million to 10.8 million euro, thanks to the lucky buy effect of the center in Kassel and thanks to the depreciation of the Polish zloty and the Hungarian forint. Forint was up 12% in Q2 compared to the euro, and the zloty was up 5% in the second quarter. Therefore, the unrealized currency gains we reported in Q1 diminished partly in the second quarter. Yeah, and the EBT increased from 26.3 million in total to, in this year's first half, 36.9 million euro. Finally, we come on slide 18 to the profit bridge. After taxes, thus after deducting 6.48 million euro, out of which only 61,000 euro are cash taxes, the remaining are deferred taxes. So after taxes, the consolidated profit totaled 30.5 million euro, up by 8.9 million euro versus the first 6 months of 2008. This equivalent to profit. This is equivalent to profit growth of 41%. The operational increase was 8% or 1.8 million euro. The breakdown to earnings per share, with the number of shares as at June 30th in this year, that means before the capital increase, EPS rose from 63 cents to 89 cents. Of this, 63 cents resulted from operating profit and additional 26 cents from measurement gains. We come to the forecast on slide 19. It is to a large extent unchanged. Revenue, EBIT, and EBT are the same. We already showed you in the last conference call. We have not included the changes caused by the revised IAS 31, as long as it is not 100% clear when it will become effective. I would like to refer you to the slides on 26 and 27 in the appendix if you are interested in the, let us call, what-if scenario, if the changes are effective in the international accounting standards. So please have a look on slides 26 and 27 in this presentation in the appendix. The only changes are to be seen in the FFO per share, and even if the development looks weak, the fact is that the total FFO increases from last year to this year and even to next year, 2010. The simple reason is the dilution effect. We calculated the 2009 numbers with an average number of shares of 36.09 million because of the capital increase on July 7th, while the FFO in 2010 is divided by the new number of shares, that means 37.8 million. In 2008, the FFO was divided only by the old number of shares, 34.4 million. So, in a short sentence, we are well on track. What else is important in the future? That means for the forecast, slide 20, our shopping centers in Kassel and Hamm are being restructured until autumn this year. At the City Point Kassel, the space previously occupied by the department store Hertie will be divided up and let to 8 or 9 small and medium-sized retailers. The required investment amount, including imputed lost rental income and ancillary costs during the construction period, will total to approximately 5.1 million euro. At the right column, the Allee Center Hamm, the tenancy agreement with the hypermarket operator was terminated early, and after the conversion, this area will be occupied by a food market and a major clothing store. Also in autumn this year, investment costs amount to approximately 1.8 million euro for us. Slide 21. For a long time now, we anticipate that we will be able to begin the expanding of the Main-Taunus Zentrum near Frankfurt, hopefully this year. So far, we don't have the final building permission on our table, but we await it every day, so to say. The selling area in this center is set to increase by approximately 12,000 square meters, allowing some 60 new shops to open. Our investment volume or portion would be approximately 35 million euros. And on the next slide, you will see how the center could look or should look in the future. That means from 2011 onwards, on autumn 2011 is a planned opening of this enlargement. And you see what is color, light orange, on the bottom of the graphic, there is a multi-level parking story to build first, and then we will build the blue part on this layout as a two-level, as a one-level a shopping mall with a level or at least one level of parking at the top to have enough parking still in one of our most successful shopping centers in our portfolio. And that's the future of the Main-Taunus syndrome. And there on slide 23, you can see, and some of you came to Dresden in July to see it for themselves. The work has already begun on the expanding of the Altmark Gallery in Dresden. It's a huge construction site. Total investment volume is approximately 155 million euro. Our portion in this investment is roughly 77.5 million euro. The selling area in this shopping center is set to increase by approximately 18,000 square meter, and the center has currently around 26,000 square meter of sales area. That means this area is to be enlarged by nearly 70%. It's a demand-driven expansion. The Altmark Gallery is now for many quarters in a row our best-performing shopping center. Even in the first half of this year, its tenants realized a turnover increase of roughly 3.5%. And if you want to inform yourself about the development on the construction site, we have a live cam there. You will find the link on the slide if you want to have a look at what is going on there. With that, we will open up the line and take your questions. Thanks a lot.
And we will now take our first question from Rick Tarward from Rabo Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have one question that's regarding the valuation yield on the portfolio. What is the current valuation yield, and where do you think that yields will go, say, towards the end of the year?
Hi, Ruth. Thanks for the question. As you know, we only evaluate our portfolio once in a year, at the end of the year. Therefore, the yields I can give you at the moment is the same we gave with our year-end report. That means 5.64% net initial yield for the standing portfolio. Our expectation or planned yield for this year is also in our standard presentation to be seen. Based on the rental income we plan for this year, is at 5.85%. And if you would have a crystal ball, we could give you our expectation for what will happen until the end of the year. Therefore, as always, unfortunately, no forecast for the yield for Deutsche EuroShop's portfolio. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. That was all for me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And we will now take our next question from Georg Kanders with West LB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question on the impact on the rental income of the refurbishment in Kassel and Hamm. And also, do you expect, is there an impact on rental income in Dresden when the construction work intensifies? And the same question for construction work at the Main-Taunus.
Hi, Georg, thanks. As mentioned, the expected loss in rental income for Kassel and Hamm is summing up in the total numbers of 5.1 million for Kassel and 1.8 million for Hamm. This includes also the rental income loss and the missing ancillary costs. In Dresden, unfortunately, you hadn't the chance to join us in Dresden. You would have seen that the enlargement takes place during the opening or opened center without any influence on the tenants which are operating already there. That means for Dresden, no reduced income to expect. And the same will be true for the Main-Taunus Zentrum, that we will restructure first the bus station and ground floor parking into a multi-level story, and then the other side of the center, also a parking at the moment, will be constructed with the shopping mall, and therefore also for the Main-Taunus Zentrum, there's no, or if so, then a very few rental income losses to be seen.
but could you specify these are total investment costs? But what was the impact on rental income only for Hamm and Kassel?
No, unfortunately, we can't split that up into the different parts of rental income and other costs, unfortunately. Sorry.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And we will now move to Dieter Hein with Fair Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Herr Kiss. I would like to ask you two questions. Firstly, you explained to us how the insolvency of Karstadt could influence your business. What's regarding Hertie, and in Germany, we expect increasing insolvency ratios. How could this affect your business, the vacancy ratio? Have you there some forecasts for us? And secondly, you are expecting a negative valuation result for the full year 2009. You had a positive one, over 8 million for the first half year. So could you explain what are your assumptions to get a negative turn in the second half year?
Yes. Hello, Mr. Hein. Karstadt, yes, the four examples are explained. Hertie left our center in Kassel. Hertie was a sub-tenant of Karstadt, therefore, in quotations, a problem of Karstadt. Karstadt paid our rent, or paid the rent they had to pay to us, even if Hertie was for some months in already in insolvency. We don't have Hertie in other centers, as well as we nearly have no of the famous, I would say, insolvencies in our portfolio. In Hamm, we have one smaller tenant, fashion retailer. This insolvency is already included in the restructuring plans there in Hamm, and I can't give you a forecast, but maybe a feeling for what is going on in our portfolio. That's also the question of many other investors and analysts about defaults of tenants in our portfolio. We have about 1,650 different tenants or lease contracts with different tenants in our total portfolio, and at the moment, only three small shops are empty, and it's a ratio of, I would say, 0.18% of the total portfolio, and that's always the target to have the most best performing tenants in the tenant mix. Then you are stable also in tough times. That's all I can say about expected insolvencies. We don't fear a bigger issue for this in the next months, but we have to be prepared, and we think we are prepared with the tenant mix and with the current tenants at the moment. And even if some of them would struggle, we don't think that would hurt us too much. And in no way we think that the dividend payment ability of Deutsche Wirtschaft would be affected for the foreseeable future. Your second question, valuation, why is there a turn around to expect? That's maybe a slight misinterpretation. Our CEO always mentioned if times wouldn't change in the next month until the end of this year, then it shouldn't be a surprise that Deutsche Euroshop's portfolio valuation would have a minus in front. You are right. We are at the moment for the valuation results in a positive area, but that's only because of the currency effect in the valuation, which is as well as a portfolio valuation, a non-cash effect. If you refer to the statement that we could expect a negative valuation for this year, that's only the forecast or the the statement for the valuation of the portfolio, not for the total valuation result of Deutsche EuroShop, because we don't know how the currency is developed in the next month.
I want only to quote your CEO,
yes,
Mr. Böge, at the annual meeting, and there he said, we must assume that we will have our first negative valuation result in 2009. So
yeah,
that's a very clear statement, and I'm interested, what are your assumptions for this negative statement?
If I remember the statement in his speech right, he said always, if times don't change or if the economy doesn't change until the end of the year, the valuation will be negative. And I'm sure that he meant the property valuation and not the total result, which you can see in the P&L in the line valuation result.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And we will take our next question from Serge Demir Dijon from Aurel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Patrick.
Good morning,
just a few questions for me. If I look to the PBT achieved in the first half and analyze that, you would be above your target of profit before tax of 52 million euros. You also expect that financial charges will decrease in the second half thanks to the capital increase and the renegotiation of the debt. Why are you not upgrading the guidance this morning?
Bonjour, Serge. I didn't get your first abbreviation. PBG?
PB, profit before tax.
Profit, okay. Our EBT. Yeah.
EBT, yeah.
That's just the conservative way of thinking we always use when we make our forecast. You never know what happens, and better be on the conservative side, and then maybe, if so, then a positive surprise. But at the moment, we never adapted our forecast after 6 months. But if this will continue, we will probably adapt our forecast in the third quarter conference call. But so far, we feel good with this forecast.
Okay. I also have a question on page 16 on the net finance cost bridge. What exactly changed in the minority profit share? What is it exactly?
Just a second.
16. So the you had a minus 1.3 million on that.
This is the portion the minorities get from the negative currency effect.
Okay, so it's a negative currency effect also.
Yes, that's the portion of the minorities.
Okay, and I have a final question on the Karstadt centers, Karstadt stores, which are neighboring your shopping centers. Can you give us maybe sort of target in terms of investment, how much that could cost you if you buy back these stores, even if it's not a precise figure?
I'm going to give you even no answer, I'm sorry, but we have contact since years with the owner of these properties. That's usual between neighbors. That's the Whitehall Fund. But it is definitely too early to speak about a transaction, and therefore also far too early to speak about potential selling or buying prices, because you have to see. I try to describe it that it is not very very optimal, the situation, especially in the Dessau Center, where you have three additional stories or levels of in the property for sales area. And first, we would have to decide, are these to be used in the future also as a sales space, or will this affect, if we do not use it as a sale, would not use it as sales, but I have to use this if version of in my statements, because there's nothing to assume at the moment. So all these factors would influence a potential price, of course, if Deutsche EuroShop should be a potential seller. But so far, there is no signal, as far as we know, that these properties are for sale at the moment.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And we will now move to our next question with Thomas van der Meij with Kempen & Company. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a few questions from my side, if I may. You gave the turnover growth for your German centers. Could you give us an indication how the different retail sectors performed in those centers?
Hi, Thomas. Not really. We try to find out any trend there, but as in the past quarters, for example, electronics markets performed comparably bad in one center, but the same brand name in another center in the opposite direction with the same plus in front of the number. And that's true for several sectors within the retail. The only thing I found out is that opticians should be a good investment possibility, but that's all. But they are the smaller ones, not really a trend. But it seems that healthcare is at the moment not on the negative side and one of the best performing retailers. But as you know, they are occupying the smaller shops in our centers. And for the big brands or big sectors in the shopping centers, that means for supermarkets, food, electronics, department stores, there's no clear trend. There's also no clear trend in the portfolio itself, no regional trend, no size trend, everything extremely mixed up. But for us, the important signal is that our tenants again outperformed the general development, and that's a positive signal for us that we don't have to be afraid of too much noise there.
Thanks, but do you have a breakdown of the 1.3 of the minus 1.3 turnover growth per sector?
No, I'm sorry, no. That's the development over all centers, and only the German ones are included. And our most successful. That means Dresden and Hamburg. Are the ones which are clearly in front of the group, and others have different developments, and the most of them are explainable. For example, if you see the Main-Taunus-Zentrum has a slight minus, they opened a big competitor in the inner city, and that's a normal development that. The people now try to visit the new marketplace there, and then they will see that they should go to the shopping center they are used to, and that's probably the trend in the future. This slight minus of the Main-Taunus-Zentrum will turn around again.
Okay, thanks. And do you have an update on your rent-to-sales ratios?
They are nearly on the same levels, so the same range as in the Q1 report, between 6 and slightly below 10%.
Okay, thanks. And could you give us an update on your acquisition plans?
Yeah, we still want to acquire new shopping centers, but as you know, the transactions which took place in the last months were not really fitting with our definition or our target shopping centers. Therefore, we don't have a feeling for the current yield level, but our expectation is clearly that 6 should stand in front of the net initial yield number, and therefore that's the target we look for. But as in the past already also mentioned, as long as a high quality shopping center earns its money and this lasts for the interest payments for the owner, there's no reason for them to sell. But we get in the first signals that maybe in the next quarters there will be more opportunities for us to acquire centers because of strategic decisions of foreign investors or even other problems, maybe that the financing runs out after 5 years, for example, and then the current owner maybe decides to sell, and then we have to see for existing centers what will be a potential yield level and a potential target, because we have not only the yield as a criterion to check it, but also others like layout and so on, catchment area, you all know that. That's for the existing and already running centers, and on the development side, you also know that this is a very limited pipeline in the meantime for most of the developers all over Europe. Therefore, no concrete and short-term use of the power fight. The firepower. Sorry, we have at the moment. So we can still wait, and there's no real need to be too fast in the decision finding process.
Okay, thank you very much. To be clear, you're looking to standing assets as well as developments.
Yes, as always.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And we will now move to Jochen Schmidt with Metzler Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I have just one question, if I may. Could you provide an update about write-downs on rent receivables in the first 6 months? Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Schmidt. I have to look to my colleague for write-downs on receivables. Give us just a second.
Yes, for sure.
She tells me below 100,000 euro.
For the first 6 months?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you. So we'll now move to Ralf Grönemeyer with SQC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Ralf.
Thanks for these comments. I've just two little questions. If I look at page 14, where you have property operating at management costs, and I look at the H1 report, I can see that in the second quarter, particularly the property operating costs were about 5.5% of rental income. Now, if I see there's a 500,000 increase overall, but overall I can see that these costs are coming down from around 12.1% to about 11.8%. If I assume that these are special costs, could I look at about 11% for the full year? That would be one question. And the second question, in Q2, you had actually a negative measurement result, i.e. a loss of about 6 million euros. Is that currency effect, and where do these come from?
Mm-hmm. So I would like to start with the second question. As I try to explain, the negative valuation result of the second quarter is only due to the currency effects. The forint was up 12% and the zloty 5% compared to the first quarter. And a stronger zloty or forint always mean valuation losses. And the other way around with the weak currencies, which we saw in the first quarter, and over the 6 months, they are still weaker than at the end of the year. Therefore, purely valuation results, or nearly purely valuation results, because some smaller investments are also included in the valuation result, but that's so small that not really mentionable. The other question, the cost expectation, they were a little bit lower in the second quarter because in the first quarter, on the first half of last year, there was the opening of the Hameln Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm.
And this always has some higher costs, all the events and so on around this opening, the marketing and things like that. Our plan for the operating and management costs for this year are at around 12.4%. So if you assume 11%, that's your analyst's work.
Okay. No, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So we'll now move to Steven Van Veren with Petercam. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Patrick and Nicholas. Three small questions. The turnover-related part of the rental income, perhaps I missed that one, but can you please clarify a bit on that? The second question is, in order to keep transparency up, looking at the new bookkeeping methodology, will you still keep on reporting in the old way as well, or will you come up with a new split up in order to see what the minority stakes are actually generating? And the third one is, for new acquisitions, do you plan to have pure new acquisitions or developments, or perhaps even take a larger part of the minor stake in order to get beyond the 50%? That's all.
Hi, Stefan. Thanks for the questions. Turnover-related income, we don't show this, or we don't collect this rental income during the first 9 months. Therefore, that means in the fourth quarter, after we have the result of the first 9 months, we make an interpolation of the development and then collect from the estimated volume or turnover of the tenants a 90% share in the fourth quarter. And then after we have, at the end of the year, all the audited results from our tenants, we make the final invoice with the remaining 10% of the assumed or then realized turnover. Rental income to pay. Therefore, that's normal that you haven't missed anything. That's normal that you can't see the turnover-related part of our rental income within the first 9 months even. Transparency, yes. If we are more sure when this changes in IFRS will be introduced finally, then we will have a clearer view if it's in next year already or in 2011. But as you know us from the past, we try to be at the top of the group in transparency. That means that we probably will give you in some way a help to translate the new then forced results, forced by IFRS, and to convert it into the old transparent way. Maybe we will do it like we did it already with this presentation, where you have the adapted slide on page 26, how the P&L would look if these changes are already introduced. But to avoid too much confusion about different guidances and different P&L accounts, we, as long as it's not clear when it will be introduced, we concentrate on the old way. But if it will be introduced, we will help you with the transparency, because this would be a loss in transparency, that's for sure, if we would just adapt to the new minimum requirements. And that's not what we want. We want to have the clear view what goes on in our portfolio. And you are right, and therefore thank you for the question. It's not only the possibility to grow the company via finding new acquisition targets in terms of existing and already running centers or new developments. It's, of course, as in the past, also a possibility to increase our existing shareholdings by buying out our co-investors, sometimes 25,000 euro-wise, or maybe with a bigger portion. But that always depends on the current tax situation for our co-investors, which are in many cases private investors, and they have to take care for the 10-year speculation period, and therefore you can assume when these kind of shopping windows for us open in the future.
Okay, that's very clear, Patrick. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Kiss, it appears we have no further questions at this stage.
Wonderful. Then thank you, everybody, for joining us today and for your continued interest in our company. We look forward to updating you again next quarter. All the best and goodbye.